86. Patterns of Light. One is almost certainly a traitor to the others. From the diagram, Book of the Second Desk Drawer, paragraph 27. Kaladin let the stormlight evaporate before him. He was running low. His frantic flight across the plains had drained him. How shocked he had been when the flare of light rising into the darkening sky above a lit plateau had turned out to be Dalinar himself, lashed to the sky by Zeth. Kaladin had caught him quickly and sent him back to the ground with a careful lashing of his own. Ahead, Zeth stumbled away from the princeling, holding out his sword wardingly toward Kaladin, eyes wide and lips trembling. Zeth looked horrified. Good. Dalinar finally landed on the plateau with a soft step, and Kaladin's lashing ran out. Seek shelter, Kaladin said, the tempest in his veins dampening further. I flew over a storm on my way here, a big one, coming from the west. We're in the process of withdrawing. Hurry, Kaladin said. I will deal with our friend.
Kaladin?
Kaladin turned, glancing at the High Prince, who stood tall despite cradling one arm against his chest. Dalinar met his eyes.
You are what I've been looking for.
Yes, finally. Kaladin turned and strode toward the assassin. He passed Bridge 4 in a tight formation, and the men, at a barked command from Teft, threw something down before Kaladin. Blue lanterns, lit by oversized gems that had lasted the weeping. Bless them. Stormlight streamed up as he passed, filling him. With a sinking feeling, however, he noticed two corpses with burned-out eyes at their feet. Paden and Mart. Eth clutched his brother's body, weeping. Other bridgemen had lost limbs. Kaladin snarled. No more. He would lose no further men to this monster.
You ready?
He whispered.
Of course, Syl said in his head. I'm not the one we've been waiting on.
Burning with stormlight, enraged and alight, Kaladin launched himself at the assassin and met him blade against blade.
We're dead, Renarin muttered. Someone shut him up, Shallan snapped. Gag him if you have to. She pointedly turned around, ignoring the raving prince. She still stood in the center of the muraled chamber. The pattern. What was the pattern? A circular room. A thing on one side that adapted to fit different shard blades. Depictions of knights on the wall glowing with stormlight pointing at a tower city just as the myths described. 10 lamps on the walls. The lock hung over what she thought was a depiction of Natanatan, the kingdom of the shattered plains. 10 lamps. With gems in them. Latticework of metal enclosing each one. Shallan blinked, a shock running through her. It's a Fabriel.
The assassin hurtled into the air. Captain Kaladin flew upward, chasing him, trailing light.
Status of the retreat, Dalinar bellowed, crossing the plateau,
his ribs smarting like nothing else, his wound from before little better. Storms. That one had faded as he fought, but now it ached something fierce.
Someone get me information!
Scribes and Ardents appeared from the nearby wreckage of tents. Shouts rose from around the plateau. The wind started to pick up. Their period of reprieve, the short calm, was over. They needed to escape these plateaus. Now! Dalinar reached Adolin and helped the young man to his feet. He looked quite a bit worse for wear, bruised, battered, dizzy. He flexed his right hand and winced in pain, then gingerly let it relax.
Damnation, Adolin said. That bridge boy is really one of them? The Knights Radiant?
Yes.
Oddly, Adolin smiled, seeming satisfied.
Ha! I knew there was something wrong with that man.
Go,
Dalinar said, pushing Adolin along.
We need to get the army to move two plateaus over, that direction, where Shallan waits. Get over there and organize what you can.
He looked westward as the wind whipped up further with bursts of rain. "Time is short." Adolin shouted for the bridgemen to join him, which they did, helping their wounded, though they were unfortunately forced to leave their dead. Several of them carried Adolin's shard plate as well, which was apparently spent. Dalinar limped eastward across the plateau as fast as he could manage in his condition, searching for, yes, the place where he'd left Gallant. The horse snorted, shaking a wet mane.
"Bless you, old friend," Dalinar said, reaching the Rashadium.
Through the thunder and the chaos, the horse had not fled. Dalinar moved much more easily once in the saddle, and eventually found Rohaeon's army pouring southward toward Shallan's plateau in organized ranks. He allowed himself a sigh of relief at their orderly march. The majority of the army had already crossed to the southern plateau, only one away from Shallan's Round One. That was wonderful. He couldn't remember where Captain Call had been sent, but with Rohaeon himself fallen, Dalinar had assumed he'd left his army in chaos.
"Dalinar!" a voice called.
He turned to find the utterly incongruous sight of Sabariel and his mistress sitting beneath a canopy eating dried cella fruit off a plate held by an awkward-looking soldier. Sabariel raised a cup of wine toward Dalinar.
"Hope you don't mind," Sabariel said. "We liberated your stores. They were blowing past at the time, headed for certain doom."
Dalinar stared at them. Pallona even had a novel out and was reading.
"You did this?"
Dalinar asked, nodding toward Rohaeon's army.
"They were making a racket," Sabariel said, "wandering around, shouting at one another, weeping and wailing. Very poetic. Figured someone should get them moving. My army is already off on that other plateau. It's getting rather cramped there, you realize."
Pallona flipped the page in her novel, barely paying attention.
"Have you seen Elidar?"
Dalinar said. Sabariel gestured with his wine.
"He should be about finished crossing as well. You'll find him in that direction. Downwind, happily."
"Don't dally," Dalinar said. "You remain here and you're a dead man."
"Like Rohaeon?"
Sabariel asked.
"Unfortunately."
"So it is true," Sabariel said,
standing up, brushing off his trousers, which were somehow still dry.
"Who am I going to make fun of now?"
He shook his head sadly. Dalinar rode off in the direction indicated. He noticed that, incredibly, a pair of bridgemen were still tailing him, only now catching up to where he'd found Sabariel. They'd saluted as Dalinar noticed them. He told them where he was going, then sped up. Storms, in terms of pain, riding with broken ribs wasn't much better than walking with them. Worse, actually. He did find Alidar on the next plateau over, supervising his army as it seeped onto the perfectly round plateau that Shallan had indicated. Rust Ethel was there as well, wearing his plate, one of the suits Adolin had won, and guiding one of Dalinar's large mechanical bridges. It settled down next to two others that spanned the chasm here, crossing in places the smaller bridges wouldn't have been able to. The plateau everyone was crowding onto was relatively small by the scale of the shattered plains, but it was still several hundred yards across. It would fit the armies, hopefully.
"Dalinar?"
Alidar asked, trotting his horse over. Lit by a large diamond, stolen from one of Navani's fabrial lights, it seemed, hanging from his saddle, Alidar sported a soaked uniform and a bandage on his forehead, but appeared otherwise unharmed.
"What in Kalek's tongue is going on out here? I can't get a straight answer from anyone."
"Rohaeon is dead," Dalinar said wearily, reining in Gallant. "He fell with honor, attacking the assassin. The assassin, hopefully, has been distracted for a time."
"We won the day," Alidar said. "I scattered those Parshendi. We left well over half of them dead on that plateau, perhaps even three quarters. Adolin did even better on his plateau, and from reports, the ones on Rohaeon's plateau have fled. The Vengeance Pact is fulfilled. Gavilar is avenged and the war is over."
So proud. Dalinar had difficulty finding the words to deflate him, so he just stared at the other man, feeling numb.
"Can't afford that," Dalinar thought, sagging in his saddle. "Have to lead."
It doesn't matter, does it? Aladar asked more softly.
That we won. Of course it matters.
But shouldn't it feel different?
Exhaustion, Dalinar said. Pain. Suffering. This is what victory usually feels like, Aladar. We've won, yes, but now we have to survive with our victory. Your men are almost across. He nodded.
Get everyone onto that plateau, Dalinar said. Force them up against one another if you have to. We need to be ready to move through the portal as quickly as possible once it's opened.
If it opened. Dalinar urged Gallant forward, crossing one of the bridges to the packed ranks on the other side. From there, he forced his way, with difficulty, toward the center, where he hoped to find salvation.
Kaladin shot into the air after the assassin. The shattered planes fell away beneath him. Fallen gemstones twinkled across the plateau, abandoned where tents had blown down or soldiers had fallen. They illuminated not only the central plateau, but three others around it and one more beyond, one that looked oddly circular from above. The armies gathered on that one. Small lumps dotted the others like freckles. Corpses. So many.
Kaladin looked toward the sky. He was free once again. Winds surged beneath him, seeming to lift him, propel him, carry him. His shard blade shattered into mist and Syl zipped out, becoming a ribbon of light that spun around him as he flew. Syl lived. Syl lived. He still felt euphoric about that. Shouldn't she be dead? When he'd asked on their flight out, her response had been simple.
I was only as dead as your oaths, Kaladin.
Kaladin continued upward, out of the path of the oncoming storms. He could see those distinctly from this vantage. Two of them, one rolling from the west and bursting with red lightning, the other approaching more quickly from the east with a dark gray storm wall. They were going to collide.
A high storm, Kaladin said, shooting up through the sky after Zeth.
The red storm is from the Parshendi, but why is a high storm coming? This isn't the time for one.
My father, Syl said, voice growing solemn. He brought the storm, rushing its pace. He's broken, Kaladin. He doesn't think any of this should be happening. He wants to end it all, wash everyone away, and try to hide from the future.
Her father. Did that mean the Stormfather wanted them dead? Great. The assassin disappeared above, vanishing into the dark clouds. Kaladin gritted his teeth, lashing himself upward again for more acceleration. He shot into the clouds, and all around him became featureless gray. He kept watch for glimmers of light to announce the assassin coming for him. He might not have much warning. The area around him lightened. Was that the assassin? Kaladin extended his hand to the side, and Syl formed into the blade immediately.
Not 10 heartbeats? He asked.
Not when I'm here with you ready. The delay is primarily something of the dead. They need to be revived each time.
Kaladin burst out of the clouds and into sunlight. He gasped. He'd forgotten that it was still daytime. Here, far above the earthy darkness of war, the sunlight beat upon the cover of clouds, making them glow with pale beauty. The thin air was frigid, but raging stormlight inside him made that easy to ignore. The assassin hovered nearby, toes pointed downward, head bowed, silvery shard blade held to the side. Kaladin lashed himself so that he stopped, then sank level with the assassin.
I am Zeth's son Valano, the man said. Truthless. Truthless.
He looked up, eyes wide, teeth clenched.
You have stolen honor blades. It is the only explanation.
Storms. Kaladin had always imagined the assassin in white as a calm, cold killer. This was something different.
I possess no such weapon, Kaladin said, and I don't know why it would matter if I did.
I hear your lies. I know them.
Zeth shot forward, sword out.
Kaladin lashed himself to the side, jerking out of the way. He swiped with his blade, but didn't come close to connecting.
"I should have practiced more with a sword," he muttered.
"Oh, that's right. You probably want me to be a spear, don't you?"
The weapon fuzzed to mist, then elongated and grew into the shape of a silvery spear with glowing, swirling glyphs along the sharpened sides of the spearhead. Zeth twisted in the air, lashing himself back into a hovering position. He looked at the spear, then seemed to tremble.
"No. Truthless. I am truthless. No questions."
Stormlight streaming from his mouth, Zeth threw his head back and screamed, a futile human sound that dissipated in the infinite expanse of sky. Beneath them, thunder rumbled, and the clouds shivered with color.
Shallan dashed from lamp to lamp in the circular chamber, infusing each one with stormlight. She glowed brightly, having drawn the light from the Ardent's lanterns. There wasn't time for explanation. So much for keeping her nature as a surge binder hidden. This room was a giant fabrial, powered by the stormlight of those lamps. She should have seen it. She passed Inadara, who stared at her. How are you doing this, Brightness? Several of the scholars had settled onto the ground where they hurriedly sketched glyphward prayers onto cloths, using chalk because of the moisture. Shallan didn't know if those prayers were a request for safety from the storms or from Shallan herself. She did hear the words, "Lost Radiant," murmured by one. Two more lanterns. She infused a ruby with stormlight, bringing it to life, but then ran out of light. "Gemstones," she said, spinning on the room. "I need more stormlight." The people inside looked to one another, all but Renarin, who continued to scratch identical glyphs on the rocks as he wept. Stormfather. She'd bled them all dry. One of the scholars had dug an oil lantern from her pack, and it paled beside the lamps on the walls. Shallan ducked out of the opening in the door, looking at the mass of soldiers who gathered there. Thousands upon thousands shuffled in the darkness. Fortunately, some of them carried lanterns. "I need your stormlight," she said. "Was that Adolin?" Shallan gasped, other thoughts fleeing for the moment as she spotted him in the front of the crowd, leaning on a bridgeman for support. Adolin was a mess, the left side of his face a patchwork of blood and bruises, his uniform ripped and bloodied. Shallan ran to him, pulling him close. "Good to see you too," he said, burying his face in her hair. "I hear you're going to get us out of this mess." "Mess?" she asked. Thunder rumbled and cracked without pause as red lightning blasted down, not in streaks, but in sheets. Storms! She hadn't realized it was so close. "Mmm," Pattern said. She looked left. A storm wall was approaching. The storms were like two hands, closing in to crush the armies between them. Shallan breathed in sharply, and stormlight entered her, bringing her to life. Adolin had a gemstone or two on him, apparently. He pulled back, looking her over. "You too?" he said. She bit her lip. "Yeah, sorry."
"Sorry? Storms, woman. Can you fly like he does?"
"Fly?" Thunder cracked, impending doom.
"Right.
Make sure everyone is ready to move," she said, dashing back into the chamber.
Storms crashed together beneath Kaladin. The clouds broke apart, black, red, and gray mingling in enormous swirls, lightning arcing among them. It seemed to be a Harietiam again, the ending of all things. Above all this, atop the world, Kaladin fought for his life. Zeth flew by in a sweeping flash of silvery metal. Kaladin deflected the blow, the spear in his hand vibrating with a plangent ding. Zeth continued on, passing him, and Kaladin lashed himself in that direction. They fell westward, skimming the tops of the clouds, though to Kaladin's eyes that direction was down. He fell with his spear aimed, point straight toward the murderer's shin. Zeth jerked left, and Kaladin followed, quickly lashing himself that way. Violent, churning, angry clouds mixed beneath him. The two storms seemed to be fighting. The lightning that lit them was like thrown punches. Crashes sounded, and not all of them thunder. Near Kaladin, a large stone churned up through the clouds, spinning vapors across its length. It breached in the light like a leviathan, then sank back into the clouds.
Stormfather.
He was hundreds, perhaps thousands of feet in the air. What kind of violence was happening below if boulders were thrown this high? Kaladin lashed himself towards Zeth, picking up speed, moving along the top surface of the storms. He drew close, then eased back, letting his acceleration match that of Zeth, so they flew side by side. Kaladin drove his spear toward the assassin. Zeth parried deftly, shard blade held in one hand, while supporting the blade from behind with the other, diverting Kaladin's thrust to the side.
"The Knights Radiant," Zeth screamed, "cannot have returned."
"They have," Kaladin said, yanking his spear back, "and they're going to kill you." He lashed himself slightly to the side as he swung, twisting in the air and sweeping towards Zeth. Zeth jerked upward, however, passing over Kaladin's spear. As they continued to fall through the air, clouds just beside them, Zeth dove inward and struck. Kaladin cursed, barely lashing himself away in time. Zeth dove past him, disappearing into the clouds below, becoming just a shadow. Kaladin tried to trace that shadow, but failed. Zeth burst up beside Kaladin a second later, striking with three quick blows. One took Kaladin in the arm, and he dropped Syl.
"Damnation!"
He lashed himself back away from Zeth, then forced Stormlight into his graying, lifeless hand. With an effort, he made the color return, but Zeth was already upon him with an airborne lunge. Mist formed in Kaladin's left hand as he raised it to ward, and a silvery shield appeared, glowing with a soft light. Zeth's blade deflected away, causing the man to grunt in surprise. Strength returned to Kaladin's right hand, the severing healed, but forcing that much stormlight through it left him feeling drained. He fell away from Zeth, trying to keep his distance, but the assassin kept on him, jerking each direction that Kaladin did as he tried to escape.
"You are new at this," Zeth called. "You cannot fight me. I will win."
Zeth zipped forward and Syl formed into a spear in Kaladin's hands again. She seemed to be able to anticipate the weapon he wanted. Zeth slammed his weapon against Syl. It brought them face to face and they tumbled eye to eye, their lashings pulling them along the clouds.
"I always win," Zeth said.
He said it in a strange way, as if angry.
"You're wrong," Kaladin said. "About me. I'm not new to this."
"You only just acquired your abilities."
"No.
The wind is mine. The sky is mine. They have been mine since childhood. You are the trespasser here, not me."
They broke apart, Kaladin throwing the assassin backward. He stopped thinking so much about his lashings, about what he should be doing. Instead, he let himself be. He dove for Zeth, coat flapping, spear pointed for the man's heart. Zeth got out of the way, but Kaladin dropped the spear and swung his hand in a great arc. Syl formed an axe-head halberd. It came within inches of Zeth's face. The assassin cursed, but responded with his blade. A shield was in Kaladin's hand a split second later, and he slammed away the attack. Syl shattered even as he did so, forming back into a sword as Kaladin thrust forward with empty hands. The sword appeared, and the weapon bit deeply into Zeth's shoulder. The assassin's eyes widened. Kaladin twisted his blade, pulling it out of the assassin's flesh, then tried a backhand to end the man permanently. Zeth was too fast. He lashed himself backward, forcing Kaladin to follow, piling on lashing after lashing. Zeth's hand still worked.
Damnation!
The strike to the shoulder hadn't fully severed the soul leading to the arm, and Kaladin's stormlight was running out. Zeth's looked even lower, fortunately. The assassin seemed to be using it up at a much faster rate than Kaladin, judging by the decreased glow around him. Indeed, he didn't try to heal his shoulder, which would have required a lot of light, but continued to flee, jerking back and forth, trying to outrun Kaladin. The shadowy battle continued below, a tangle of lightning, winds, and spinning clouds. As Kaladin chased Zeth, Something gargantuan moved beneath the clouds, a shadow the size of a city. A second later, the top of an entire plateau broke through the dark clouds, twisting slowly as if it had been thrown upward from below. Zeth almost ran into it. Instead, he lashed upward enough to crest it, then landed on the surface. He ran along it as it turned lethargically in the air, its momentum running out. Kaladin landed behind him, though he retained most of a lashing upward, keeping himself light. He ran up the side of the plateau, heading almost directly upward toward the sky, dodging to the side as Zeth suddenly twisted and cut through a rock formation, sending boulders tumbling downward. Rocks clattered along the surface of the plateau, which itself began to tumble back down toward the ground. Zeth reached the peak and threw himself off, and Kaladin followed shortly thereafter, launching from the stone surface, which sank like a dying ship into the roiling clouds. They continued their chase, but Zeth did it falling backward along the storm top, his eyes on Kaladin. Wild eyes.
"You're trying to convince me," he shouted. "You can't be one of them."
"You've seen that I am," Kaladin shouted back.
"The Void Bringers are back,"
Kaladin shouted.
"They can't be. I am truthless,"
the assassin panted.
"I need not fight you. You are not my target. I have work to do. I obey."
He turned and lashed himself downward. Into the clouds. Down toward the plateau where Dalinar had gone.
Shallan rushed into the room as the storms crashed together outside. What was she doing? There wasn't time. Even if she could open a portal, those storms were here. She wouldn't have time to get people through. They were dead, all of them. Thousands had probably already been swept to their deaths by the storm wall. She ran to the last lamp anyway, infusing its spheres. The floor started to glow. Ardents jumped to their feet in surprise, and Inadara yelped. Adolin stumbled in through the doorway, a crashing wind and a spray of angry rain trailing him. Beneath him, the intricate design shone from within. It looked almost like stained glass. Gesturing frantically for Adolin to join her, Shallan ran across to the lock on the wall. "Sword!" she shouted at Adolin over the sounds of storms outside. "In there!" Renarin had long since dismissed his. Adolin obeyed, scrambling forward, summoning his shard blade. He rammed it into the slot, which again flowed to fit the weapon. Nothing happened.
"It's not working," Adolin shouted.
Only one answer. Shallan grabbed the hilt of his sword and whipped it out, ignoring the scream in her mind that came from touching it, then tossed it aside. Adolin's sword vanished to mist. A deep truth. "There's something wrong with your blade and with all blades." She hesitated for just a second. "All but mine. Pattern?" He formed in her hands the blade she'd used to kill. The hidden soul. Shallan rammed it into the slot, and the weapon vibrated in her hands and glowed. Something deep within the plateau unlocked. Outside, lightning fell and men screamed. Now the mechanism's operation became clear to her. Shallan threw her weight against the sword, pushing it before her like the spoke on a mill. The inner wall of the building was like a ring inside a tube. It could rotate while the outer wall remained in place. The sword moved the inner wall as she pushed on it, though it stuck at first, the fallen blocks of the cut doorway getting in the way. Adolin threw his weight against the sword with her, and together they pushed it around the circle until they were above the picture of Urethiru, half the circumference from Natanatan where she'd begun. She pulled her blade free. The 10 lamps faded, like closing eyes.
Kaladin followed Zeth into the storm, diving into the blackness, falling amid the churning winds and the blasting lightning. Wind attacked him, tossing him about, and no lashings could prevent this. He might be master of the winds, but storms were another thing.
"Take care," Syl sent. "My father hates you." This is his domain, and it is mixed with something even more terrible. Another storm. Their storm.
Nevertheless, the high storms were the source of stormlight, and being in here energized Kaladin. His reserves of stormlight burst alight, as they obviously did for Zeth. The assassin suddenly reappeared as a stark white explosion that zoomed through the maelstrom toward the plateaus. Kaladin growled, lashing himself after Zeth. Lightning of a dozen colors flashed around him, red, violet, white, yellow. Rain soaked him. Rocks spun past him, some colliding, but the stormlight healed him as quickly as the debris did damage. Zeth moved along the plateaus, coursing just above them, and Kaladin followed with difficulty. This churning wind was tough to navigate, and the darkness was near absolute. Flashes lit the plains in fitful bursts. Fortunately, Zeth's glow could not be hidden, and Kaladin kept his attention on that blazing beacon. Faster. Just as Zahel had taught weeks ago, Zeth didn't need to defeat Kaladin to win. He just had to get those Kaladin protected. Faster. A burst of lightning illuminated the battle plateaus, and beyond them Kaladin caught a glimpse of the army. Thousands of men huddled on the large circular plateau. Many hunkered down, others panicked. The lightning was gone in a moment, and the land became dark again, though Kaladin had seen enough to know this was a disaster. A cataclysm. Men being blown off the edge, others crushed by falling rocks. In minutes the army would be gone. Storms, Kaladin wasn't even certain if he could survive this nexus of destruction. Zeth crashed down among them, a glowing light amid the blackness. As Kaladin lashed himself down in that direction, lightning struck again. Its light revealed Zeth standing on an empty plateau, baffled. The army was gone.
The sounds of the raging storm outside vanished. Shallan shivered, wet and cold. Almighty above, Adolin breathed. I'm almost scared of what we'll find. Rotating the inside wall of the building had moved their doorway opposite hardened Krem. Perhaps there had been a natural doorway here before. Adolin summoned his blade to cut a hole. Pattern. Her shard blade. Vanished back to mist, and the room's mechanisms settled down. She didn't hear anything outside. No crashing of winds. No thunder. Emotions fought inside of her. She'd saved herself and Adolin, it appeared. But the rest of the army... Adolin cut a doorway. Sunlight spilled through it. Shallan walked to the opening, nervous, passing Inadara, who sat in the corner looking overwhelmed. At the doorway, Shallan looked out at the same plateau as before, only now it was sunlit and calm. Four armies worth of men and women crouched, soggy and wet, many holding their heads and hunkering down against wind that no longer blew. Nearby, two figures stood beside a massive Rashadium stallion, Dalinar and Navani, who had apparently been on their way to the central building. Beyond them spread the peaks of an unfamiliar mountain range. It was the same plateau, and here was in a ring of nine others. To Shallan's left, an enormous ribbed tower, shaped like cups of increasingly smaller sizes, stacked atop one another, broke the peaks. Yirithiru. The plateau hadn't contained the portal. The plateau was the portal.
Zeth screamed words at Kaladin, but those were lost in the tempest. Rocks crashed down around them, ripped from somewhere distant. Kaladin was sure he heard terrible screams over the winds, as red spren he'd never seen before, like small meteors, trailing light behind them, zipped around him. Zeth screamed again. Kaladin caught the word this time.
How?
Kaladin's answer was to strike with his blade. Zeth parried violently, and they clashed, two glowing figures in the blackness.
I know this column, Zeth screamed. I have seen its like before. They went to the city, didn't they?
The assassin launched himself into the air. Kaladin was all too eager to follow. He wanted out of this tempest. Zeth screamed away, heading westward, away from the storm with the red lightning, following the path of the common high storm. That alone was dangerous enough. Kaladin gave chase, but that proved difficult in the buffeting winds. It wasn't that they served Zeth more than Kaladin. The tempest was simply unpredictable. They'd shove him one way and Zeth another. What happened if Zeth lost him?
He knows where Dalinar went, Kaladin thought, gritting his teeth as a flash of sudden whiteness blinded him from one side. I don't.
He couldn't protect Dalinar if he couldn't find the man. Unfortunately, a chase through this darkness favored the person who was trying to escape. Slowly, Zeth pulled ahead. Kaladin tried to follow, but a surge of wind drove him in the wrong direction. Lashings didn't really let him fly. He couldn't resist such unpredictable winds. They controlled him.
No.
Zeth's glowing form dwindled. Kaladin shouted into the darkness, blinking eyes against the rain. He'd almost lost sight. Syl spun into the air in front of him, but he was still carrying the spear.
What?
Another one, then another. Ribbons of light, occasionally taking the shapes of young women or men, laughing. Wind spren. A dozen or more spun around him, leaving trails of light, their laughter somehow strong over the sounds of the storm.
There, Kaladin thought.
Zeth was ahead. Kaladin lashed himself through the tempest toward him, jerking one way, then the other. Dodging blitzes of lightning, ducking under hurled boulders, blinking away the sheets of driven rain. A whirlwind of chaos, and ahead,
light?
The storm wall. Zeth burst free of the storm's very front. Through the mess of water and debris, Kaladin could just barely make out the assassin turning around to look backward, his posture confident.
He thinks he's lost me.
Kaladin exploded out of the storm wall, surrounded by windspren that spiraled away in a pattern of light. He shouted, driving his spear toward Zeth, who parried hastily, his eyes wide.
Impossible!
Kaladin spun around and slashed his spear, which became a sword, through Zeth's foot. The assassin lurched away along the length of the storm wall. Both Zeth and Kaladin continued to fall westward, just in front of the wall of water and debris. Beneath them, the land passed in a blur. The two storms had finally separated, and the high storm was moving along its normal path east to west. The shattered plains were soon left behind, giving way to rolling hills. As Kaladin chased, Zeth spun and fell backward, attacking, though Syl became a shield to block. Kaladin swung down and a hammer appeared in his hand, crashing against Zeth's shoulder, breaking bones. As Stormlight tried to heal the assassin, Kaladin pulled in close and slammed his hand against Zeth's stomach, a knife appearing there and digging deeply into the skin. He sought the spine. Zeth gasped and frantically lashed himself farther backward, pulling out of Kaladin's grip. Kaladin followed. Boulders churned in the storm wall, which was now the ground from Kaladin's perspective. He had to repeatedly adjust his lashing to stay in the right place, just ahead of the storm. Kaladin leaped on churning boulders as they appeared, pursuing Zeth, who fell wildly, his clothing flapping. Windspren formed a halo around Kaladin, zipping in and out, spiraling, spinning around his arms and legs. The proximity of the storm kept his stormlight stoked, never letting it grow dim. Zeth slowed, his wounds healing. He hung in front of the crashing storm wall, holding his sword before him. He took a breath, meeting Kaladin's eyes.
An ending, then.
Kaladin drove forward, still forming a spear in his fingers, the most familiar weapon. Zeth attacked in a sequence, a relentless blur of strikes. Kaladin blocked each one. He ended with his spear against the hilt of Zeth's blade, pressing the two together, mere inches from the assassin's face.
It is actually true,
Zeth whispered.
Yes.
Zeth nodded, and the edge of tension seemed to fade from him, replaced by an emptiness in his eyes.
Then I was right all along. I was never truthless. I could have stopped the murders at any time. I don't know what that means, Kaladin said. But you never had to kill. My orders, excuses! If that was why you murdered, then you're not the evil man I assumed. You're a coward instead.
Zeth looked him in the eyes, then nodded. He pushed Kaladin back, then moved to swing. Kaladin drove his hands forward, forming Syl into a sword. He expected a parry. The move was intended to draw Zeth out of his attack pattern. Zeth did not parry. He just closed his eyes. Kaladin drove his blade into the assassin's chest right below the neck, severing the spine. Smoke burned out from beneath his eyelids, and his blade slipped from his fingers. It did not vanish.
"Get that,"
Syl sent him, a mental shout.
"Grab it, Kaladin. Don't lose it."
Kaladin dove after the blade, dropping Zeth's corpse, letting it fall backward into the storm wall. It vanished among the wind, the rain, and the lightning, trailing faint wisps of stormlight. Kaladin grabbed the blade just before the storm consumed it. Then he lashed himself back upward, passing along the storm wall, the windspren he'd attracted spiraling about him and laughing with pure joy. As he crested the top of the storm, they burst around him and zipped away, moving off to dance in front of the still-advancing storm. That left him with only one. Syl, in the form of a young woman in a fluttering dress, full-sized this time, hovered before him. She smiled as the storm moved beneath them.
"That was very nicely done," she said. "Perhaps I'll keep you around this time."
"Thank you."
"You almost killed me, you realize?"
"I realize. I thought I had."
"And?"
And you are intelligent and articulate?"
"You forgot the compliment."
"But I just said—"
"Those were simple statements of fact."
"You're wonderful," he said. "Truly, Syl, you are."
"Also a fact," she said, grinning. "But I'll let it slide so long as you're willing to present me with a sufficiently sincere smile."
He did. And it felt very, very good.